instructions. These lectures will summarize the teachings of the entire
Thank you. Krishna.
Once again, welcome all of you. We will read this morning a text which comes right at the end of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a well-known verse, and I think enchanted in such a way that we learn to commit it to memory. Let's just see what we have.
Krishna,
Mukta Vandana,
Mukta Vandana,
liberated from material bondage. The transcendental spiritual kingdom. One can go. Translation. My dear King, although Kali Yuga is full of faults, there's still one good quality about this age. It is that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. We will read the second verse. Kṛtayatyāyato viṣṇum trētayam yajato makai dvāpade paricharyānuyam kalotat thai kirtana. Whatever result was obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by performing sacrifices, and in Dvaraka Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet. That's deity worship. Serving the Lord's lotus feet. Can also be obtained in Kali Yuga simply by eating prasada. I'm speculating. Just asking if you are attentive. What do you think could be that one practice which can bring us all the results which have been obtained by spiritual processes in previous ages? Chanting the holy names. Good. So, let me again say this. Whatever result was obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by performing sacrifices, and in Dvaraka Yuga, what would you do in Dvaraka Yuga? By serving the Lord's lotus feet? Yes, yes. Can also be obtained in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Perfect. This verse is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 12.3.52. At the present moment, in Kali Yuga, there are many false meditators who concoct some imaginary form and try to meditate upon it. It has become fashionable to meditate, but people know nothing about the object of meditation. That is explained here. Yadhyayato Vishnu. One has to meditate upon Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. Without referring to the Shastras, so-called meditators aims at impersonal objects. It does not work. Lord Krishna has condemned them in Bhagavad Gita. Kleshotikaratikatarastesham avyakta sakta cetasam avyakta higatir dukham deha vat vir avapite. For those whose mind are attached to the unmanifested impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. Not knowing how to meditate, foolish people simply suffer, and there is no benefit derived from their spiritual activities. The same reference can be found in the following verse from the Vishnu Purana, 6-17, Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda, 72-25, and Brihan Naradiya Purana, 38-97. Prabhupada makes a strong case here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 20, text 344, through 345. But very strong case is then that in this age of Kali, other processes for spiritual elevation, that is meditation and other things, simply will not give the desired benefit. So sometimes when hearing this claim that only chanting the Maha Mantra and Kali Yuga will lead to spiritual elevation, we might think this could be a sectarian claim of the Hare Krishna movement, or we might think, I tried it but it didn't work in my case. And in this way, we may lack an opportunity to go deeper into our spiritual practice and derive the desired results in our Krishna consciousness. So, in these two lectures which we have during the Sangha Veda, philosophical lectures, there's another one in the new year which will be more a little bit projecting a vision into the new year. But in these two philosophical lectures, it is our desire to convince all of you to become ecstatic chanters of Hare Krishna. So let us see if this will work. You need to only listen very attentively and check everything you heard here. If this could work for you, you know, you have to reflect. You have to I will have to go very much according to Shastras. It will be a very interesting journey which we take together. And I can promise you, every one of you who is during this journey attentive will most probably see some very important points for his or her spiritual advancement. So, you will have to give me your full attention, and I also want, before I start, to greet the viewers from Mayapur TV all around the world. Hare Krishna, it's a great honor for us. Maybe no one has switched on their computer and we talk to Martin, but if you hear the articulated glasses, very good. And here's another camera. I want to also ask you during this lecture to not do what many computer viewers do, to see many things at the same time, including Disneyland and everything, or do multitasking. No, please give me your attention and you will be able to discover something more. Let us say the prayers to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishaya Mulare Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Nirmale Bhagavatam. There's a very soul-provoking opening. Bhumiya, the planet Earth, had a breakdown. She was overwhelmed by the influence of demoniac rulers and their many armies. And she came to Lord Brahma and then Lord Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam starts with the scene, Mother Earth is crying. Bhumiya dripta, Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto starts with this. Bhumiya dripta nite vyaji daita. It opens like this. Once when Mother Earth was overburdened with demons posing as kings, and it said, Krandanti Karunam Vibhu. She was crying piteously with tears of great distress in her eyes. And Brahma said, your distress is so great, we will need to go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they went to the milk ocean where the Lord is seen in this universe. And they prayed to the Lord, please appear and set things right. The earth is simply overwhelmed by these demoniac influences. The atmosphere is terrible. The people slaughter each other. My body is drenched with the blood of my children. So Krishna agreed to appear. He told the devatas to appear also in various families. And as we all know, he kept his promise which he had given in the Bhagavad Gita. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya charusritam. In order to give support to those who are pious and destroy the sinful rascals, I appear from time to time in this planet and then to establish dharma or religious principles. So towards the end of Krishna's stay, there was a very important and secret meeting, which is very important for us. You know, when Krishna stayed and his lotus feet touched the earth, despite this touch of his divine lotus feet, everything was just divine. Kali, who wanted to come and influence the people, stayed outside the planetary hemisphere. He could not enter even into the I don't know how it's called, the atmosphere around, the spherical atmosphere around the earth, because Krishna was there. So the end of Krishna's time, when Krishna visited Kurukshetra, it was long, long after he had revealed the Bhagavad Gita there. And Kali met him. He came in disguise of a Brahmana. And he said, as long as you are there, my dear Lord, I will not be able to do my work of ruling this planet. Krishna said, I will soon go. Kali said, that won't solve the problem either, because your great devotees will be there. And when your great devotees preach, there is no place for me. I'm particularly afraid of Parikshit Maharaj, who is related to you. He is a very powerful ruler, Krishna said. And he must have been sad when he said it. preaching. The last one who upholds Dhamma will also believe. He believed earlier. God is there. God. We all know from the Bhagavatam that Parikshit Maharaj, after the Pandavas, when Krishna left, then the Pandavas, his greatest devotees, left very soon after Krishna's departure because they just couldn't bear the separation of Lord Krishna. Their hearts were broken. They wanted to rejoin their Lord. And then Parikshit Maharaj took on the rule. At that time, Kali tried his first entry into the planet Earth. But when Parikshit met him, he was just on guard. He checked him, and when Kali did his first crime, then Parikshit Maharaj mounted his chariot, which rolled like thunder. He was so much prepared to confront the evil, and he was meeting Kali, and there was even no need to fight. Kali just surrendered immediately, he could see Parikshit Maharaj was just so powerful because he carried the power of the personality of God. This was not an ordinary king, my dear devotees. He was not like your Andrea Merkel or Gottfried Obama or whatever. Parikshit Maharaj was very great devotee. But we all know that Kali said, as long as you are here, Parikshit, where shall I go? Parikshit Maharaj said, go where gold is. Where gold is kept by greedy men, there is your place in my kingdom. So, Kali began had a stronghold on this. He now had, you say in German, angedockt. He had his place, and from there he began to influence a young brown boy who, out of immaturity, cursed the vice Emperor Parikshit Maharaj, who was so strong that he could keep Kali away, cursed the emperor. And to die within 7 days. Parikshit Maharaj, the vice emperor, the protector of earth, was now cursed by Brahmana. He went to the Ganga and asked his famous question, what are those meant to do who stand on the threshold of death and who, with a body, who are about to die? He asked the question like all, which is relevant for all of us, because we are all here for a short time, and death is the only secure thing for us to happen, which we really all know this will happen. It might not happen that I get a new refrigerator, but I will certainly meet my death. That is sure. So when Shukadeva Goswami came to answer this question for Parikshit Maharaj and for the rest of humanity, he was in the end beginning to prepare Parikshit Maharaj for death. Sukadev Goswami, and I would like to enter here my discussions, which will be just very strictly following the Bhagavatam. I mean, what you heard so far is known to you, but I will now enter my subject. He saw, he is the emperor of the world, and he will leave in a few days. He will die. How can we how can I prepare him in the most responsible way? And the way he did it is by Raja Katha. He talked about the big dynasties in the world, which were led by pious kings. And the point he made is by telling telling Parikshit Maharaj about those kings, is that they all had come, they all had gone. All these dynasties had ruled for some time with their leaders, but then inevitably they had all gone. It's almost like if I want to prepare someone of you to live for his death, I would say, Buddha Bhavana Bhu, don't you see, before you, your grandfather is still living, your grandfather has died, and before him, his father has died, and before him, his father has died. Buddha Bhavana Bhu, you will, by seeing this, and be sure you will also die. And the idea will come into Bhupta Bhavana's mind. My God, yes, I am not different from all those who die, I will also die. So, Shukadeva Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj, you know, all these dynasties have died. Please prepare yourself for the same. Then he talks about the quality of these kings. You must know, kings at the old times were representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead here on earth, and their governments had the duty to represent the Shastras which the Lord had preached in their governments. These were totally different concepts of governments. In Kali Yuga there is one government, do you know, which has a nice motive, and you will see how different it is from other governments. The motive of this government is the success and the failure of the government is measured by how happy its people are. Mm. And there is a happiness quotient, a happiness parameter, you know, how happy are the citizens. Every year they have to report this, and then the government knows if they're good or if they're not good. And if no one is happy, then they have to resign. That's the government of Bhutan. But the concept of government here is different. They were not just meant to make everyone happy. They were giving them the highest paramasukam, the highest pleasure, by helping each one to connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These were the proper governments before the age of Kali. But they degraded. There was one king, Nanda, very powerful, who, and Shukadeva said, this king, who has huge armies, will severely offend one Brahmana, who will then untie his seeker, and this Brahmana will say, I will not tie my loose seeker until this wrestle king will be removed from the seat of the government and my man will rule. The Bhagavatam talks about it. Shukadeva Goswami talks about this. who knows whose name he refers to? Chanakya Pandit, yes. And Chanakya Pandit was that Brahmana who met this king, this Kali Yuga king. Sukadev had foretold this, and the Kali Yuga king offended him severely. I don't know what he precisely did, but Chanakya Pandit said, "You will go, and a right king will come." This Chandragupta, who was installed and advised by Chanakya Pandit, who lived in a little grass hut and just directed him and did everything just by his intelligence. Chandragupta is the founder of the Maurya dynasty, and only three persons are recognized by modern historians: Chanakya Pandit, Chandragupta, and his dynasty. You can see the Bhagavatam doesn't talk about some fantasy here, but it talks long, long back about events which will happen. Sukadeva Goswami talks about this, and they did happen exactly the way he foretold it, as it is recorded by modern historians. The grandson of Ashoka, of Chandragupta, whose name is in the Bhagavata, will be Ashoka Vardhana, says Sukadeva Goswami. He will be another of the heavy kings who is coming under the influence of Kali, but in a different way. Ashoka Vardhan will adopt the philosophy that there is no righteous, that there is nothing beyond matter. He will be a follower of Buddhism. This is how Kali enters. He corrupts rulers and he spreads wrong philosophies. It's very interesting. Ashoka Vardhana is also recognized by modern historians. In fact, he's recognized by the Indian government. You can see on the Indian flag there's a chakra. Can you see? Yeah. What are the colors again? Someone who can never. It starts up.
Orange, white, and green.
And in the midst is a chakra. That's the chakra of Ashoka Vardhana. Because he was that powerful that no one could withstand his might. But he had huge armies. He ruled like anything. But he had a turn of mind in Orissa. In Orissa, he had just done a huge battle, and then he had asked for water. Then he was finished. Now his servant came back to him and said, "King, there is no water without blood. This battle was so bad. So many people have been killed. The rivers and the water and the well water is full of blood. I have done this," said Ashoka Vardhana. "Ah, this violence is terrible. No one can even drink water any longer. Millions have been killed by me, and the blood has polluted all the water." Mother Bhumi was shaking, and Ashoka Vardhana said, "From this day on, I will practice Ahimsa. I will become a Buddhist. Nobody else." Which is a good idea. So he followed that. My point here in telling you is, my dear devotees, we are, the Bhagavatam is now going into our modern Kali Yuga history. Srila Goswami talks about this. Then he says, from that after Ashoka Vardhana, all the kings were degraded by Kali. Lust for power was there. They were practicing in order to come to power. They were assassinating the king before them. Not always, but sometimes. And because they were so bad, all the populace followed them, you know, their example. We will hear a little bit how Kali Yuga entered through the rulers in the dynasties. So in the second chapter of the Bhagavatam, we find Bhumi again. Bhumi laughs this time, but it's not a happy laughter. It's a laughter of distress. She was distressed at the beginning before Krishna came. Now she is again distressed because during Krishna's time everything was very good rulers. But then, Krishna took care of all the demons, in other words. But afterwards, the demons came back in double force by Kali's arrangement. So Bhumi laughs in a distressed way. Would you like to hear her song? The Bhumi Gita is heavy. You can hear it. All right. Just see how these kings, who are actually playthings in the hands of death, are desiring to conquer me. These people are driven by lust and meet only frustration because they have faith in the body, which is as fleeting, temporary, as bubbles of foam in the water. What is the use of their lives if they try for things that must go? Do they not see what happened to the rulers before them? They are so attached to power, fight for a little while, and then lose everything when they die. Thus, they are a list of names in past history. Understand Mother Earth's distress. She sees these kings are shedding so much blood, so much violence in an attempt to capture some land, but they will all lose this. Their lives, she gives an example. Who remembers the examples? How did their life of these kings that affect all of our lives here? It's temporary. Huh? What is the example she gives? Like bubbles of foam in the water. You can go to our little river here, and the river is flowing, and you see some bubbles of foam in the water. And they go like, they come, then boom, they make, and then they're gone. This is the life of all of us. Why so much endeavor for something which you have to lose? Why so much endeavor? So Shukadev Goswami explains all of this. The path of the kings, how they became degraded, Mother Earth's reaction to this degradation. And then he says to Maharaj Parikshit, I spoke this Raja Katha, a story about the kings, to teach you one thing. What could the intention of Shukadev Goswami be? I think it's very obvious. I think you know it. He said, I want to teach you renunciation by all of this. Parikshit, you will die. But just renounce the world. It's not worth it. It's like bubbles in the ocean. Then he says, but renunciation of this world is not the highest aspect of knowledge. This is not what is I wanted to tell you. You have to renounce, but my message has a much, much higher subject. And then he introduces, Shukadeva Goswami introduces at the end of the Bhagavata beautifully his main theme, why there is a Bhagavata. The main thing is to teach people devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just to renounce the world, the miserable world, which is under the hands of Kali, is not the highest aspect of knowledge. What you have to do is to develop devotion. He says this very beautifully in the 12th chapter, canto, 30th chapter, text 15. And they should continue hearing throughout the day. They should not just, okay, this was the morning class, now Prabhu, let's talk about recipes for pizza. No, it should continue, don't stop. I think our message, which Gaura Hari said before I came, was we stay in the fire, not like the iron, don't stop. You know, you are Kali Yuga. If you don't put Krishna in your mind, Kali will be in your mind, Hare Krishna. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes that by doing this process, two things will happen. The heart gets purified. Earlier Shukadeva Goswami has said, of what it gets purified when you hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna, shoka, you won't lament any longer.
My life is so terrible.
No, shoka will go, moha, your illusion will go, and bhaya, bhaya means your fears, while it is translated into modern ISKCON language, your insecurities. Everything will go just by this process, hearing and chanting. Please continue to listen, because you might think, now this doesn't work. You will see how it works, because Shukadeva Goswami now is only introducing the subject, but he will soon describe how this medicine is to be taken, how so that it works. No? Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says the remedy for Kali Yuga is to hear about Krishna, but then he says there are four subjects about Krishna which you should hear. First, you must hear about Krishna. Then you should hear about his devotees, how the devotees live in this world. Aindra, Prabhu, Vrindavan, chanted so many rounds, 3 lakhs each day, and he did this. This is good katha, his devotees. And Prabhupada came to the West. This katha should be done. But then you should also hear about Krishna's associates, that is, the parikas in the spiritual world, who relate directly with Krishna in his transcendental lila. And in order to hear about Krishna and how Krishna personally acts with his devotees, and hopefully one day you also, that will be found where? In the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. You know, we will hear how the devotees are so attached to Krishna, but whenever something happens in their life which is dangerous, they take shelter at Krishna by shouting, please say, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna,
Mahabhavo,
Mahabhavo,
Bhaktanama,
Bhaktanama,
Abhayankara, like this, Krishna, Krishna, you are so strong, and your purpose is to take the fears from your devotees away. No? So this is the katha. In the second, this is not new what Shukadeva Goswami said. He had talked about it already in the second canto, but Parikshit Maharaj is only hours away from his death. So he now gives the essence, he makes it very clear. In the second canto, he has said, those who hear the sweet pastimes of the Lord and his devotees, Narada, Hanuman, Nanda, Maharaj, Sridham, and who hold this katha in the cup of their ears.
I'm sorry, I want to be crystal clear.
Your ears are a valuable cup. You have to hear Krishna katha, and then you hold it there. It should stay with you.
Those who do this, they clean their hearts of all material contamination and attain the service of the lotus feet of the Lord.
If you do this, if you hear about Krishna regularly in devotional assemblies and throughout the day, and you keep this
like you keep water in a cup, you have that in your heart,
the material contamination will go. And exactly what that is, the material contamination, which it will go like that. Exactly what that is.
That is the holy conscious vision.
What that is Prabhupada says, the polluted aim of life. All of us have a certain aim, either consciously or unconsciously, but if it is not to become fully Krishna conscious, it's a polluted aim of life. I sometimes think about this in very personal ways. I'm thinking, what stops me to live my highest aspiration in Krishna consciousness? That which evokes a glowing yes, you know. What stops me? I don't want to be stopped any longer. You know, in the same way, you all have a very spiritual goal, but sometimes other goals
come before that, and we lose that out of sight. We just had a meeting maybe 2.5 months ago in the Vela Academy in Berlin. The devotees came actually together and they said, okay, we are doing this Vela Academy, but for us it is important to see how this is in harmony with our real goal in life, and not with money making or other goals. They were talking like this. I have heard this and noted it down in my notebook. To remember it and to quote it in important situations in life. We want to see that we have a goal, but sometimes we are diverted from the direct goal. Can you relate to that? Or is that, you are so saintly that this never happens? So when you hear about Krishna, the devotees and his associates, this is what I really want. This is how you are purified in your heart. And you say, let's go to Mayapur. Let's take part in the Kirtan Mela. Let me make it a point to just chant my rounds before anything else comes. And you get the strength by hearing this. This is what happens by this Kirtan. And the other things, your weaknesses, where you think, I'm now entangled with this and that and the other thing. You will get the strength to overcome this and get to your real purpose in life. Now, in Deutsch sagen wir, die Katze ist aus dem Sack. The cat is out of the bag. Shukadeva Goswami only tells Parikshit Maharaj, you must hear Krishna, you must keep that in the heart, and especially now, this is the. And in this way, he answered the question which Parikshit had: what am I to do? Death is coming in 7 days. What is my duty now? What should I do now? Ruling is out of the question. I have already installed the next ruler. What am I to do now? What process do I have to adopt? And then Parikshit Maharaj, time is also there. Death is coming and not waiting for his appointment. He asked, can I ask 5 more questions, please? Shukadeva nods his head. His first question is, but Kali Yuga is so bad that all objects are polluted by it. All places are polluted by it. And also, the minds of people are so polluted. How? Please speak practically. Can one overcome the pollutions or the contaminations of Kali Yuga? Further, I want to know, please explain the 4 ages and their symptoms. Please explain exactly how long the creation exists and when it's destroyed. And finally, talk about the influence of time. So Parikshit, so Shukadeva Goswami talks about all these questions and then goes like a line onto the first question. What to do when Kali Yuga is so strong? And I believe that is a question which we all have. We joined and came to Krishna consciousness with the highest intention. We were thinking sometimes, in 2 weeks we are pure devotees. So Shukadeva Goswami goes into a long explanation and says, first of all, he talks, yes, there are certain principles of religion, you are right, truthfulness, mercy,
austerity and cleanliness in Kali Yuga, day by day, truthfulness is replaced by lying. Mercy, people are not merciful, but they are hateful and aggressive, violent. Austerity, they don't keep up austerity, and they are always so dissatisfied in their lives. And they are not clean. So he says, day by day, the ignorance increases. And he gives some examples. He says in Kali Yuga, Parikshit, law and justice will be applied on the basis of one's power. When you have money, then you get justice. If you are poor, no chance for you. The Brahmanas are judged only by their external symptoms, like the threat. And then he seems to talk about temples. He says, spiritual hermitages, you know, places where spiritual people come, will be no different from mundane houses. I remember that in one of our temples, there was, now it has been changed, but there was just a guest hotel. And then he talks, mercy will go so much down. He talks more. I could talk really for ages on this, but the governments will steal property of the citizens. The rulers will be like ordinary thieves. So that finally the citizens will have to flee into the mountains and forests and be exposed to famine, cold, and wind. I'm thinking of Syria. You know, where there was this war, people are really already experiencing it. It really is bad. They will be harassed by quarrels. You know, there's so much quarrels even in ISKCON, you know, on the internet. So much hunger. And people, that the quality of people will be, they will be always in anxiety. They don't have peace of mind. The maximum of duration of life will shrink down to 50 years. You may say, long, 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 you live longer and longer. My dear devotees, you are not thinking very correctly. There's so much people dying in wars and in famine that you can see really the average life duration of planet Earth is reducing. Main occupation of men is stealing, lying, needless violence, and the homes are devoid of piety. He talks also about cleanliness. I thought that's good for you because some of you are Brahmanas. Brahmanas, be aware now. A person will think he's fit to appear in public life if he has really taken a bath. No, we should be clean. Also inside, you know, by proper spiritual conduct. So every day the ignorance will increase so that people at the end will become as if haunted by ghosts. And one prime symptom, he said, that even is godlessness. Even when people are on their deathbed, even at that time, they will not chant the holy names. I think this sometimes is also a flair of Hare Krishna devotees. Hare Krishna. I want to find this for you because it's so pathetic. And Sukadev Goswami sees there is a man. He's terrified. He has collapsed on his bed. He's terrified. He's about to die. But although his voice is already faltering, he can't speak. And he's hardly conscious of what he's saying. If this person would utter the holy name of the Supreme Lord, he can be freed from the reactions of all his karma and achieve the supreme destination. But still, people in the age of Kali will not worship the Supreme Lord. I do sometimes think this describes us.
Krishna is so merciful. Just by chanting this holy name, all the difficulties of karma can just be removed. But even when we are already on our deathbed, our voice is ordering, don't just dive into the nectar of the holy name. Godlessness, great godlessness, is there spreading like anything. Parishi is becoming wise, you know, he's listening to this. He's a good ruler. He feels, I was able to defeat Kali. Now I have to go. And I can't protect the citizens. They will suffer so much. So, Shukadev is now pacifying Parikshit. I don't worry, at the end of Kali, something good will happen. The end of Kali Yuga. He says, when there will be the time when people fight so much, that they fight from house to house, they have little groups of bandits and they just beat the fighting in the main thing, you know. They will be smaller size. The Lord will come. He is really known Kalki. And then Shukadev gives the village where he will be born. It's the Shambhala. Those who know Lalita Madhava, it is esoteric shop, Shambhala. Wow. People talk about Shambhala like anything. And he will kill all the bad rulers who have these groups of fighting people. And then he will be riding on his horse. It's a wise horse. Who loves horses? Do you know the name of the horse of Kalki? Devadatta. He will come. And there will be, he will be ornamented. There will be sandalwood on his body. And there will be wonderful breezes coming from his body, and people will smell God's fragrance entering their nostrils and the heart, and they will, when they see the Lord, even the rulers, they will be liberated. And these people who have been changed by the darshan of Lord Vasudev, who's known in this incarnation, they will repopulate the places. So, oh Krishna, are you still able to listen? I have to bring it to a certain point, because otherwise I can't give the second class. So it's just 15 more minutes. It will get now very practical. But Shukadev Goswami is saying again, all these contaminations of Kali, which are ruling people in Kali Yuga, will go when the Lord comes in the heart. And he says, demigod worship, different forms of austerities, breath control, compassion, bathing in holy places, strict vows of charity, and various mantras, this will not work in Kali Yuga. Because remember, in Kali Yuga, everything is just polluted. Wherever you go, it's in the influence of Kali. I know a rickshaw in Vrindavan, where the rickshaw driver, it eats sweets from morning till evening. And then you go into his rickshaw, wherever you go, it's sticky. Then you want to put your hand here, oh, is full of sweet rasa gula water, then you, God, on my right hand, now I can't chant, but let me see if I can just do something with my left hand, get some water. You touch something, I won't tell you the name to not offend the British Parsi, but he has too much love for sweets and then it's all over the place. So in Kali Yuga, the contaminations are all over the place. So therefore, worship of the egos, austerity, and the mantra and different mantras, it just won't work because everything, including your own mind, is just so sticky with contamination. But he says, Shruta Parikshit, hear about Krishna. Sankirtan, go on Sankirtan, no, glorify Krishna. Dhyayata, meditate about Krishna. Pujita, worship Krishna. And Adrita, offer great respects. This will work. And then he gives an example to make it clear how it will work. Because I know sometimes you think, how will simply chanting and hearing about Krishna work and make me free from my contamination? He says, you must know, just as fire applied to gold which has impurities causes all the traces of the impurities to leave, Lord Vishnu, when he comes in the heart, purifies the minds of even the yogis. You know, when you have gold and it has become contaminated, you must place it into fire, and then there's a separation from the contamination. It just oozes out and you have the pure gold here. This happens only by the strength of the fire. You can't, you know, take a cloth and just rub the gold and purify it like this. You can't also go like, you know, blow on it to get the traces of alloys out, means ionized metals out of the gold. You can't just put some water and scrub it because it's so deeply within all the gold. Only fire will be able to enter the gold and take the dirt out. So in the same way, the chanting of holy names and of hearing about Krishna works because by this process Krishna himself, not you, Krishna himself, I want to say again, not you who are limited and weak and also influenced by Kali, can come and just take out the impurities of the heart. This is done by Krishna, who is all powerful. Your liberation is not your work, it is Krishna's work. If you learn to not also pollute the process by committing and mixing it with aparadha, then we will hear a little bit. No? But this process is the reason why it is so powerful, is because it invokes Krishna, who appears in the heart and then takes care of the avadranis, the inauspicious things which are also there, and removes them. Is this clear to you, this important point? This is the logic which Shukadeva Goswami uses. And then he says, it's only, you know, a few more minutes before the Takshaka will come. He says, therefore, strings. Fix the Lord within your heart, is what he tells you. And then keep that, and you will certainly go back home, back to Godhead. And then he says, look, persons like Ajahnir, they're inattentive when they chanted the Lord's name. Transcendental kingdom. It is impossible to overestimate the results, in other words. This is how you should do it. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, yes, Kali Yuga is full of force. They are like thieves. But as one king who's good can take care of all the crimes of all the thieves, in the same way this one quality can take care and correct all the bad bad other qualities. But you have to chant Savatma with all your might. Chanting alone, which is not dependent on meditation or any other process, one can attain the highest human goal of prema. This is Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. What to speak if you combine meditation or any other bhakti process with the chanting? It's just so powerful. My dear devotees, if you think this day in the last day, then one day you will be correct. If you think this day, today, is the last day, one day you will be absolutely correct. Madhava, our Madhava from who lives in Switzerland, once asked, how do you chant Madhava? And he says, you know Madhava, he sings for 2 hours the same melody, but it's not boring, it's wonderful. You know, how do you chant like this? And then Madhava said, I think the mantra which I'm chanting now is my last mantra. Then he starts with a new mantra. Imagine, just imagine this. This is a good sadhana. Savatma, you know, with all of it. Imagine, Ram Gopal, you are a very long time chanter. You're an only devotee. Imagine the time of your day, death comes. And you know, I have one more mantra to chant. Ram Gopal, I can guarantee you this will be your best mantra. Isn't it? Can you follow this thought? So this is how what it means, Sarvatma. Chant with all your might. But we will hear much more. Shukadeva Goswami, he is Shukadeva Goswami, he will follow many things. And then you might think, but how does Krishna know that I'm chanting? You know, how does he hear this? Do you sometimes think this when you chant? I wonder if Krishna hears this. Well, Shukadeva Goswami says he is also Sarvatma, the Supreme Soul, you know. He picks it up. He knows when you meditate about him because he's just next to you. He's in your heart. Another matter. When you chant, Krishna sees how you are simultaneously working on your computer. Because he's right there in your heart. And similarly, Krishna sees when, as you are chanting, when you really chant with all your might. He catches this. He's not like a devata who may not know, you know, or like you when your Gopal is playing and calls out your name, Ananda Vana, or he may say Pita, for short. Something. Yes. You may not know because you are not present in his heart in that sense. You know. Krishna knows when we chant his name or meditate about him. And he says, oh, someone is chanting my name. He knew that even when Ajahn was chanting. Now, how much does he know it when you chant with all your might? Yeah. He knows it. He picks it up like the air which brings the rose fragrance. Wow. You're chanting my name. And he will respond in whatever way he chooses. And then he gives those who chant properly prema. Why is this? Because ultimately Krishna is the only shelter. You can see that for those who have done this journey and who have chanted properly, they have attained a love in their heart for Krishna because it's given by Krishna. He said this person is trying and he gives prema. If the person is trying, not if he's not so much trying. So I like this, what Madhava says. He says, I'm trying to think he says, obviously, it's also difficult for me. I'm young and I'm wild. And you can see he's not a wild, he has a certain appearance also, that is also there. But when I chant, I just think this mantra is my last one, and I make sure I chant it for Krishna.
There is one man, he is called John Ruskin. I have this for those who are not yet so deep in Bach. I have given a good quote. He says, the real reward for our endeavors is not how much money we get for them, but what we become by them. In Deutsch, der wahre Lohn für unser Bemühen liegt nicht darin, was wir dafür bekommen, sondern darin, was wir dadurch werden. The real reward for your endeavors in chanting is not what you get or I finish my 16 rounds. It's what you become when you chant. A person who is purified as the gold is purified when the fire comes is burned. What you become. Then always check your life. What have I become? That is the reward. That is the real reward. No? Don't know. I have finished for today. I'm very sorry, I was a little longer, but these are two lectures. They have to be given on two mornings, and you will see tomorrow, on the day after tomorrow, why. So thank you very, very much that you were attentive. I could see you were really listening. I believe there are questions to this lecture, but please park your questions. Park means just write them down, and I believe at the evening time before the Krishna Katha we have an opportunity to engage in an enlivening question and answer session. Because I'm a little late, I will end here.